Did you know that proper nutrition can improve outcomes from surgery? Welcome to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Bob Siebelhaar, and my awesome co-host, Dina Griffin. We are both registered dietitians who are board certified specialists in sports dietetics with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. We are here to translate nutrition and sports science research to real life and give you some awesome interviews with a variety of experts so you can enhance your knowledge to optimize your health, fitness, and athletic performance. Now, on today's episode, number 119, Dina and I actually talk about her recent skiing accident, which led to a surgery. Now, what we're going to talk about, this may seem a little strange for a sport nutrition podcast, but this happens to me all the time when I work with athletes, especially when they get injured. There are certain nutrition things that you can do before surgery and after surgery to actually improve your outcomes and helping you recover from that surgery. So Dean and I are going to chat all about her accident, what she did before her surgery nutritionally, how she's adapting her nutrition now after surgery in hopes to speed her recovery and get her back on the trails as soon as possible. Now, before we get to the show today, if you would like more information on some great premenopausal female Ironman nutrition training, that's right, I'm calling out to all the premenopausal females who are doing either a 70.3 or a full 140.6 Ironman, I just created a four-week program just for you. It's going to teach you daily nutrition strategies, nutrient timing strategies, supplement protocols, testing. Oh my gosh, so much. Oh, and did I mention, I'm actually going to teach you how to align all of this with your menstrual cycle. So this actually starts on March 18th. Be sure to sign up before that. And you can go over to my website, energyperformance.com. That's E-N-R-G, performance.com, and click on courses and masterclasses to get more information. And now, on to the episode. Well, Dina, today we're talking about an interesting event that happened to you. And I think it's worthwhile to share with our listeners because at some point, I know our listeners will go through maybe not the exact same thing that you went through, but something similar. And I think a lot of times we disregard the impact of nutrition and just all the nutrition changes when it comes to surgery. So unfortunately, Dee, I know you recently had a skiing accident, a downhill skiing accident, and there were some implications and there were some injuries that happened. So why don't you kind of set the story up with what happened and kind of take us through that day?
Okay, Bob. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. This event or incident happened in mid-January. Yeah, downhill skiing and just a, you know, hit a icy big pile of snow and a few seconds later down and out. The end result of that accident was an ACL rupture in my left knee along with a meniscus tear. And so I had, you know, immediately a change of plans for my year, let alone just like trying to figure out what happened and next steps. So trying to be brief here, I had about 3 weeks between that accident and surgery to repair the meniscus and do the ACL reconstruction. And now as we're recording this, we're about, post-op day 8, we're on the other side of surgery, but certainly the nutrition piece, Bob, was something I wasn't prepared to, you know, none of us were prepared for accidents and injuries until they happen. So yeah, I'm glad we can talk about it.
I kind of feel once it happens, you're kind of back pedaling, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, wait a second, what do I do? And it's a tough time. I mean, obviously no one ever wants to get injured. And that just sounded like a freak accident. And it happens skiing, like, but you just like, you don't know what's under the snow sometimes, right? And catch an edge or catch ice or whatever. Exactly. And it's, you know, our thoughts are definitely with you. I know all our listeners are like, oh man, but you know, here's the thing, listeners, Dina has turned this into a bright light and she's going to share some nutrition, changes and just some knowledge with us because, you know, here's the thing, Dee. I mean, as everyone knows, I work with a lot of college athletes and I always tell them, you know, if in their athletic trainers too, if an injury ever happens, tell the dietitian immediately, because there are some things that you should think about depending on the injury, depending on if there's surgery or not, because pre-surgery nutrition can actually affect post-surgery complications or the speed of healing and the recovery. So now that we've known that it's ACL meniscus, you went in for surgery, surgery has been successful, but let's roll back the clock a little bit. What did you do initially? Well, actually, even before that, what, let's give the listeners like a day in the life of Dina. Like, what was a normal nutrition day for you prior to this accident? Take us through a 24-hour recall.
Okay, as far as like actual kinds of foods and patterns?
Yeah, just so they kind of have an idea of where we're starting here.
And I should just put it in context too. Prior to the accident, I was kind of in this base phase of training for a 200-mile ultra running race in August, which I didn't get a chance to reveal or mention out loud to many people. Still doing strength work, but not a ton of volume. So I would say generally like breakfast being an egg focus, vegetables, not a whole lot of carbohydrate from carb-rich sources, just starting the day very protein-heavy and continuing that theme and kind of adding in a little bit more carbohydrate around a training session, that being more a longer run or something along those lines. So egg breakfast, you know, salad or leftover protein with veg at lunch, maybe with something like a fruit, and then a snack being like a yogurt, loaded yogurt bowl and a smoothie here or there based on the kind of training day, cushioned around the workout. And then dinner, pretty much the same as lunch, like good amount, 30, 40 grams of protein, couple cups of cooked veggie, and then perhaps a starch added in there. Again, just kind of working with the kind of training day.
No chocolate?
Oh, there was the daily dark chocolate. It's so ingrained in the plan.
I know, right? I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, I mean, you know, that makes sense for base training for an ultra. You're kind of, doing some strength. Okay. I mean, that's like a typical, I would say that's like a typical day for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we fast forward, you sustained the injury, you know, you're going to go through surgery. Did you change your nutrition at all before surgery?
I did make more of an effort to do, let's call it, anti-inflammatory kinds of food focus. I understand too, like we need some inflammation to work with just the healing process. But yet in the interim before surgery, it's like, well, we're going to go through a whole other period of time with a different level of inflammation as a result of surgery. But nonetheless, Bob, I would say I kept protein high, and the things I changed was trying to do a little more on the omega-3. Salmon, walnuts, my omega-3 supplementation went up by about double.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. You know, and my movement was pretty much limited. I mean, I was trying to do some upper body weights and things, but I couldn't walk.
Did your hunger response change at all?
So this is great to bring up, Bob. I would say the mental emotional component comes in here, like feelings of being down, like, oh, just the impact, right, that this had on your goals and your just day-to-day, what you can do or not do. So trying to not use food too much for coping or other, you know, like alcohol, things like this that our brains might think it wants to deal with more, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was some negotiation and navigation of some of those things. Yeah. So I think there were a few intentional changes prior to surgery.
Okay. Did you feel like your sleep patterns change at all?
Yeah. Sleep was definitely dinged because of pain and being not able to sleep the same way. You know, like I'm a side sleeper, and that knee, that leg couldn't handle the extra pressure. So sleep and monitoring that through my Oura Ring, I definitely saw my HRV was in the tank for these weeks. Yeah, prior to surgery.
I can only imagine. Okay, so we've got the standard Dina nutrition plan. We've got the changes that you made before surgery. Obviously, you probably went into surgery fasted, right? What protocol did they give you?
Yeah, it was about 12-hour fast, no water. Okay. you know, you could do anything you wanted prior. They do ask you to stop your supplements and any medication and things like that for 5 days prior. Okay. So,
and then during, obviously you did nothing because you were under. And then, so afterwards, now this is interesting. What happened afterwards in terms of your nutrition?
There were a good few days, Bob, with not much appetite. So food intake, it's struggle, right? Because also just being athletic, we think, oh, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm not burning calories. I don't need to eat. But there's so much recovery, healing, all of this heightened state post-surgery where we actually need the fuel to help trigger and stimulate these healing processes. I didn't go so far as to like micromanage and count calories and all of that because I kind of have a good sense of that anyway. But those first couple days with the low appetite I had, I made protein shakes to kind of get through and had little nibbles instead of like these bigger meals. I just tried to get some protein in every 3-4 hours. It was not enough calories, I don't think, but at least I was trying to maintain a good protein intake.
Yeah. So the rule there is you try to focus on protein, even though you weren't really that hungry, you knew that protein was kind of a saving grace there.
Right. And then, you know, after about that second, third day, appetite kicked in and pain was a bit more manageable. So I would say, you know, thinking of pre-surgery to post-surgery, it's still some similar trends, higher protein. I mean, I'm not snacking like I used to be when I was pre-accident phase, not needing the snacks, right, with lower activity and everything, but still trying to do omega-3 focus, a lot of antioxidant, anti-inflammatory fruits, so lots of berries. I shouldn't say lots. It's just instead of maybe banana, I'm choosing blueberries. Mm-hmm. Instead of green beans, right, it's like, okay, more leafy greens, more broccoli. Some of these micro swaps, it's like similar kind of food group, but it's just kind of that upgrade or enhancement in terms of the compounds and vitamin, mineral, phytochemicals in the foods.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And of course, keeping up with creatine and whey protein to supplement. If I'm not feeling that hungry, just making a shake and being okay with that.
Yeah. And you're on crutches now, correct?
I'm on crutches. Yeah. Another week or two, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think when I've worked with athletes on crutches, I think we need to, and I've actually researched this and there's scientific evidence stating this, that when you're on crutches, of course, it depends still on your movement in crutches, but your energy expenditure can actually increase by 30%. So even though, you know, kind of a golden nugget for our listeners, even though you're on crutches and you think, oh, I'm not moving around a lot, the crutching itself actually increases the calories that you burn. So you still have to feed yourself. And I think that's a good take home message. Not only like after surgery, you know, you had to kind of feed yourself, but when you're on crutches, you do still need to eat, right? Don't think, oh, because I'm not training, I don't need to eat. So I think that's a good take home message also.
That is good, Bob. Yeah. And you know, for someone like me in my early 50s, I mean, we've got the aging piece in here, right? So just thinking of, gosh, I don't have any weight bearing on my skeleton. Mm-hmm. My muscles are atrophying. So what can I do? So keeping up protein, keeping up the omega-3s. We talked about that in a previous episode, some of the research to show it might help with minimizing or affecting that atrophy occurrence and some of those things. So it's really being a bit nitpicky in terms of what can I do nutritionally each day. And then, of course, that mental emotional side is a whole other thing, but at least prioritizing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it does depend on the injury. Like this is a ligament injury. And depending on the type of injury, sometimes like I've recommended athletes, if it is ligament-based injuries, I recommend them consuming more fluids, more electrolytes to stay hydrated because that will help ligament repair. I've also increased their collagen intake. Yes. So usually through bone broth, I've found is just the easiest way. And of course you can take a collagen supplement, but I do like the benefits of bone broth also. So there are some other little call it hacks, call it whatever you want, but you kind of need to know what type of injury it is. And then there are some specific nutritional interventions you can do, like antioxidants, anti-inflammatories are pretty much standard for everything, but then you kind of get into the specifics.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning the fluids. That is something that I purposely put in, which is doing more electrolyte. Because yeah, you think, oh, I'm not moving, I'm not sweating, I'm not exercising, blah, blah, just drink water. But for bowels, for just desire to drink, I have put in, and the ligament thing that you just mentioned, soft tissue, is extra electrolyte with Eucan hydrate is what I've been using. And that has made a huge difference. And so that wasn't something I really thought of, right? I was thinking of fuel and calories, protein, all that jazz. But the fluids definitely make a difference. And then, Bob, I bought some gelatin powder.
Oh, you did?
So as my rehab physical therapy begins, I was going to introduce that around my purposeful rehab sessions.
Are you going to make Jell-O?
Yes.
Yes, I love, you know, here's a little on the side. One of my favorite things to do is get unflavored gelatin packets and mix tart cherry juice concentrate in there. Oh my gosh, it's a tart cherry juice gelatin. It's amazing.
All right, because I got a cranberry juice. Oh, does it have? No, I think it's a cranberry. So I might, because I haven't made it yet. That's a good tip. A number of reasons. So, okay, I will report back on the concoctions.
Well, you mentioned a word, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, but let's talk about bowel movements.
Oh,
those? Because, you know, post-surgery, things kind of get messed up. Did they kind of get messed up for you?
That was like, what the heck?
Listeners, we're going to learn about Dina's bowel movements.
Well, pause if we're come back later if you need a break. But yeah, it was definitely a few days of non-activity. You know, so smooth move tea came into play, a little extra fluids. I have, you know, a stool softener that they recommended. So I thought, oh, I'll try that. That definitely was a few days of figuring that out. But I would say happily we are A-okay, back on track.
All right. It only took a few days.
I would say it was a good 2.5 days.
Okay.
And magnesium at night.
Yes.
I had forgotten to bring that back in. And then suddenly I'm like, what are all the other things that might help me out here?
Yeah.
So
crazy that we don't think about those things sometimes, right? I mean, constipation is a huge effect, negative effect of a lot of surgeries, and for good reason, right? And I think, you know, listeners, if you ever, you know, God forbid you do have to go into surgery, but if you ever do, hopefully some of these things that Dina has gone through and even what she's going through right now will give you some insight of maybe how to prepare yourself to be more successful coming out of surgery, even if it's just minimizing, you know, instead of 2.5 days of constipation, maybe it's 1 day of constipation, right? Who knows? Anything we could do to give some good tips here.
And Bob, just to add on to that, it is thinking about the things we do on a lifestyle basis or our exercise programming, even so, like, what are the things we do to have strong bodies, to have healthy bodies? Because when and if these injuries or accidents happen, does our rehab and post-surgery timeframe go more smoothly because we were stronger going into the surgery or the accident? We were healthfully, you know, nourishing our bodies. So it's something I definitely have appreciated. I mean, we never know, because I'm not going to repeat this in an unnourished state or repeat this experiment. But I think it is helpful as a reinforcement to know, oh gosh, if I weren't as strong and I didn't have these kinds of things in place, of course, said from a little bit of privilege here, but I have to imagine the process would have been much more difficult, and I still have a long road ahead, but I'm hopeful that the things I had done previously are helping me in this forward phase.
For sure. And what I hear is that, you know, we're really focusing the emphasis on strength training and eating enough protein, right? Those are kind of the two foundational things. And thank goodness you were really emphasizing that beforehand, because that will help speed your recovery.
I hope so, Bob. But I'll be in it here for a few long months or many months. So we'll just keep it going.
we wish you the best, obviously, and maybe we can follow up with you in a few months and kind of see how you're doing and see if you've made any changes based on what we're talking about today. I think that would be kind of a nice little follow-up.
That sounds good, Bob.
All right. Thank you for the chat. Oh, well, it's so wonderful being able to hear your experience. Unfortunately, you had to have this experience to be able to share this. So that's kind of a bummer. But, you know, all good things happen from things like this, makes you stronger. But I think it also adds more tools to your toolbox because you're like, hey, you know what? Now I can try some different nutritional things or maybe strength training things or whatever it is. So we will keep updates on you. And listeners, you can definitely keep updated on Dina's progress through her website and Instagram and Facebook page. And you'll find all that in our show notes. But Dina, thank you once again for sharing, and here's to a very successful recovery. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. Can't wait until the next episode. Well, we hope you enjoyed episode 119, where Dina and I sat down and chatted about her nutrition changes that she is making because of her skiing accident and her surgery that she had to go through. Hopefully, you never need to use any of that. But if you do, there are some golden nuggets in that episode that you can always refer back to. Now, next week's episode, we are going to sit down and have a chat about my Finland Arctic challenge that I did a few weeks ago. Definitely won't want to miss that because it is just jam-packed with some great information regarding how I changed my nutrition and what I did in sub-zero degree temperatures and doing activities between 3 to 6 hours in those temperatures. So you don't want to miss it, especially if you've got a cold weather adventure or if you just do some great exercise or training in the cold weather. Now, if you do have a sport nutrition related question about anything, surgery related, cold environments, hot environments, you name it, all you have to do is send us an email, hello@insidesportsnutrition.com, and let us know what it is. We'd love to devote a whole episode either to your question or we'll include it on one of our Ask Us Anything episodes. Now, we would also love if you could help us support our podcast and promote our podcast. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your training partners, go to your podcast platform of choice, give us a 5-star rating, give us a great review. We so appreciate it. It just really helps spreading the love around our podcast with other like-minded individuals such as yourself. Now, also, don't forget to go to our website, insidesportsnutrition.com. You can find all of our show notes, all of our deals we have, and a lot of different things that might pique your interest. Additionally, if you want to find out what Dina and I do in our respective businesses, head on over to nutritionmechanic.com to see all the great things that Dina is up to, and head on over to energyperformance.com, that's E-N-R-G, performance.com, to see all of the wonderful testing, coaching, and physiological testing things that I am doing. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the host and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.